For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Welcome back, sports fans, to another show to the Charity Stripe Podcast, brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network, the number one sports podcast network in Los Angeles. For those listening at home, on the road, in the air, or in the water, do you believe? We have a great show for you guys today. A little golf, a little WWE, a little MLB trade deadline, and of course, a little hoop. So buckle up, tuck it into your waistband, because here we go. 3, 2, 1. We're back. We're back, baby. It's the Charity Stripe. Pitch your free throws, cuz they're free. So it's 347 coming out at you guys, and so 346. And I'm joined on this one by myself. Other guys have the night off. I'm doing it solo today. So if I don't go too long, it's because I don't want to get long-winded and out of breath. Because that's what could happen when you're going solo on a podcast, especially if you don't go solo for a really, really long time, like I've been going together with the other boys for a hot minute.
And now, this is the moment you've all been waiting for. We are live on the Charity Stripe Podcast with your hosts, Alex, Josh, and Nick.
We're going to do a little golf, and then we're going to do some baseball. We'll start off with basketball, I guess. Game 5 has come and gone. Bucks beat the Suns after they kind of went off in the second quarter. It was pretty much all Milwaukee all the time. It did get close at the end, and Jrue Holiday had a great strip on turnover, and the Bucks ended up closing it out and winning the game over the Phoenix Suns. Stripped Devin Booker, took the ball, went on a fast break, got some points, sealed the deal. We said it on a radio show. We said it in the last episode, which is technically the radio show as well. It just, the more I watch, the better narrative is that Giannis wins. I love Chris Paul. Everyone loves Chris Paul. It'd be cool to see him win, of course. And you want everyone. He's such a good guy, too. You know, everything he does on and off the court, like we talk all the time, his involvement with the Players Association. He's just so hands-on, and he's really just so by the people for the people, which is one of the main mottos of the Charity Stripe, which is why we are CP3 stands. I just, the cynical side of me thinks that it almost in some ways depreciates the title if everybody gets a ring. If everybody out here is getting a championship, all the guys we root for and like, then it almost kind of depreciates the greatness of other guys. Like, and if, like, Phillip Rivers, it was unfortunate Phillip Rivers never got one, but it almost, in some sense, made the championships of Breeze and Rodgers. They only got one a pop thus far for Rodgers. Breeze finishes his career with one. It makes it that much better because it shows you how hard it is. A guy of Phillip Rivers' caliber, a guy of Matt Ryan's caliber, these guys theoretically should have won titles. They're that good. They're Hall of Fame QBs, yet Rivers never did, and Ryan probably never will. We want Carmelo to win. We wanted Vince Carter to win. T-Mac, these guys to win. Even, I guess, people want, you know, I want Russ to win. I would like to see Harden get one, just probably not in Brooklyn, even though that it seems inevitable if everyone's healthy. Not everyone can be a champion. And if everyone is a champion, it just takes away from the championship. It just does, in my opinion. And unfortunately, if Chris Paul loses, he's a casualty of that notion. And while I'll feel badly for him, I'm okay with it. Whereas I think for Milwaukee basketball, if they really want to lock in Giannis and have Giannis there for his career, similar to Golden State having Steph. I mean, yes, I know Golden State's in the Bay Area and SF is a hub and it's a poppin' city and that's who pulls for them. It's like in Oakland. It was in Oakland primarily. The Warriors were not a big market franchise by any means until he got there and took over. Giannis can theoretically catapult the Bucks, not to the status of the Lakers or the Celtics or the Heat or, you know, pursue these top-tier teams that are always going to be good within a 4 or 5 year span. They're never going to go for these 10-year or 8-year droughts like the Suns just did or like the Kings. Like, I'm so confident the Kings and Wolves will never win in my lifetime. So confident. Probably the Grizzlies too. Maybe even the Pelicans at this current pace. If Giannis does it in Milwaukee, Middleton and Holiday are running it back. And you, shout out to Holiday. Everyone's like poo-pooing Drew Holiday. Oh, you know, he's too expensive. His contract, yeah. All of a sudden, he has a massive game in the finals. Everyone's like, we told you he was better than Bledsoe. It's like, just stop flip-flopping. Just enough of the flip-flop. Is Holiday worth his contract? No. Are a lot of these guys worth their contract? No. That's just the way basketball is these days. These guys are making an exorbitant amount of money each year. No one is worth $40 million. Okay, we all know that. Holiday is a very good basketballer. He's an all-star. He's been an all-star. He's been a top-tier defensive player. So him going off and having a great game, what did he go for, like 27-13, 13 assists? Shouldn't it be all that surprising? That's why you bring a guy like that in. Middleton's been excellent. Giannis obviously is 26, two-time MVP, Defensive Player of the Year. He, at this current pace, people are arguing, oh, is it Middleton or Giannis? I mean, I know Kendrick Perkins, Dumb and Dumber, him and Stephen A. on the First Take. Oh, you know, Middleton's the Batman. Like, dude, shut up. Middleton is the Batman. In what realm is Middleton Batman and Giannis Robin? How high can you get and go on live TV is what the game Kendrick Perkins seems to be playing. How much weed can I smoke and how ridiculous takes can I have and go on live TV? It's an absolute asinine take. You got Middleton, who's had an unbelievable series, but Giannis is doing things that no one's done since Shaq, who we've been saying he's baby Shaq for God knows how long. And he's been phenomenal. He's put up every time you need, even his last game. Like, oh, his rebounds per game were down. He still had 30+. I mean, the dude has been an absolute force. It's not even like Ayton's been that bad. Ayton's been pretty solid. It's just Giannis is really coming to his own. He's dominating in the paint. He's not really putting up these crazy outside shots. And every time he does, I'm like, dude, come on. Just get in there and go to the basket. He's an absolute, he's one of the best rim runners I've ever seen. And Giannis Antetokounmpo at the current way it looks, is going to win Finals MVP if they can close in Milwaukee, which I'm anticipating because the momentum has fully swung. Everyone, including us at points, out here blowing the entire Suns team like that one chick who claimed to have fucked the whole team. Blowing them, saying it's over. Oh, they got it. D-Jack, lock it in for the title after two games. Milwaukee's won three in a row, and they're going back to Milwaukee to clinch, which is amazing. I can't remember. I think, ironically, the last time we saw a home team clinch in front of the fans for a title was the Buccaneers, coincidentally, for the first time ever in Super Bowl history. It's been so long. Like, I saw the Red Sox win the World Series against the Dodgers, but it was in Dodgers Stadium. Watching a team clinch the championship at home is one of the most remarkable things in front of the fans. Now, honestly, just for like that moment, another reason I'm pulling for the Bucks. But I think I want the Bucks to win, and I think they will. I want them to win, though, because it just is best for the NBA. We need Giannis to take over, and we need a guy to win the title without this super team nonsense and be the next face. It could be Devin Book. Hey, look. The way Devin Booker's been playing, if the Suns win, he's going to win Finals MVP, and it could be his time to shine. I don't know if he has the staying power. I don't know if he'll ever win an MVP, let alone a scoring title type situation. But Giannis, for all intents and purposes, his game continues to grow year in and year out. He was a phenomenal season this year. And I think that it just simply is best for the NBA if Giannis is fully the face of basketball, and the way he becomes that is by winning, or one of the faces. Toss always reminds, because there's so many guys that carry the league, and winning the title here really does that. For the Bucks franchise as well. I mean, people will want to come and play and try to run it back with them. I mean, because look, if Giannis doesn't do it this year, is Milwaukee one of the most attractive places to come and play? You're still going to probably want to go play with LeBron ahead of Milwaukee in Los Angeles. Miami is Miami. Brooklyn's Brooklyn. Guys are going to want to go there. And you may get a couple guys that may want to go to Boston. Boston's just not the fans, the racism with the fans is not good for the players, obviously. And I think it's kind of left a sour taste in the mouth of some of these guys that could potentially go there. I still obviously think it's a very attractive place to play, a Celtics fan. Someone's going to want to go save the Knicks. It's just who's going to step up and do it. It does have to be the right guy, of course. We've been preaching Damian Lillard. He's come out and said, I'm not going anywhere. Like, I'll believe that when I see it. I think he's going to leave. I'd be shocked if he was on the Trailblazers heading into next season. It just doesn't make sense. We could kind of bleed that into the trade deadline somehow for baseball, but it doesn't make sense for the Blazers to not trade him, and McCollum for that matter, because they didn't get it done. You had your chance. You had your window. Those were your guys. You made your bed, and it didn't work. Damian Lillard in Portland, unless you somehow get, if you trade McCollum for somebody, even like a Ben Simmons swap, I could. It'd be an interesting fit. Obviously helps defensively, which has been a major woe for the Blazers, because McCollum and Lillard are deficient defensively. So bringing Simmons into the mix, a guy that can guard virtually any position for the most part, helps. Obviously, he can't shoot nearly as well as McCollum can. Not even close. That's an issue. You lose that. I think the Blazers, you have a clock in the NBA if you're one of these mid-markets, the smaller market teams. If you're the Lakers, you can blow it up and you could get it back together in a couple of years. They did it. It wasn't working. They tried that whole weird thing with like Dwight and like Kobe and Nash and Powell, and that was just awkward because Dwight Howard is just, you know, all of a sudden went from extremely likable to like a weird dude. Good for him. He got his ring. And that didn't work. They're like, all right, we're going to scrap this. We're going to go for broke. And they did that. They made the trade for AD, and boom, like 5 years later, oh, the Lakers are the number two pick every year. They suck. I mean, whatever, dude. Like, they're back. Like, they went from championship to number two pick to championship faster than before, like the Suns even made the playoffs again. So like we're gonna sit here and cry about it? Like, get out of here with that. Honestly, it's complete nonsense. But I think Lillard's got to go, and I think I would be intrigued to see what happens with McCollum if Lillard does go. If they do blow the whole thing up, because I don't think you could build around CJ McCollum. Great player, he's just not, you know, a superstar. Guys are gonna want to go to Milwaukee though if Giannis wins. He has a chance if he wins here to really set up a franchise and really make Milwaukee a basketball city. I know Green Bay is not Milwaukee, it's Wisconsin, but like everybody in Milwaukee is out here for the most part pulling for the Packers. It's been a Packers town. Brew Crew's good. Brew Crew's real good. What are they going to do with the deadline? Brew Crew's real good, but they can really make it a basketball city going forward. And they can get there because the bench is not deep at all. It's been their big issue, but, you know, again, they're one win away from the title. Can they go get a real bench? Can he bring in some of these vets that would normally go play with KD, normally go play with LeBron and get it done and really give a healthy Brooklyn team a run for their money? Philly is completely lost at sea. The Celtics have serious work to do. I think the Hawks are legit. They're a legit contender. They're probably going in as of right now, the number three team in the East. Philly is such a mess. I'm putting them at four. You got to put Milwaukee at one because they're there. But then a healthy, obviously, Brooklyn team is super lethal. I don't know if the Knicks, the current state, can do what they did last year. They need to add some pieces. Celtics, Heat. I don't know what the Pacers are doing. They never know what they're doing. They've been kind of like, I mean, they have Sabonis. They have Turner. Brog, they have like great pieces. It's just like drafts better? I don't even know. Like, you're not getting anybody to come there. Ditto with the Hornets. The Hornets, again, are finding themselves in that middling pick, but they have LaMelo at least, who could be a superstar based on what we've seen. But yeah, Milwaukee really take a good hold of the East because winning the title gives you staying power. It's like, okay, these guys got it done. I want to go play there now. Middleton, Giannis, Holiday, they're running it back. They have Portis. They have Lopez. You know, DiVincenzo's going to come back. Do I want to go join the Connaughtons? Honestly, been lights out from three. He's got the most three-pointers in the entire playoffs, which is kind of crazy. Do I want to go join these guys? The answer might be yes. Might be yes. I'm going Bucks in six. Bucks in six. Trade deadline is happening. A lot of guys going to be dealt. Who's on the move? Cubs, sell it. Everything. If it can be sold, sell it. If the Red Sox are like, hey, we'll give you Bleu for Rizzo, boom, do it. The Mets with Lindor with the oblique strain, give me Baez and give me Kimbrel. I'm done with the Edwin Diaz experiment. I'm done. You blow a save against the Dodgers. You blow a save against the Padres, a team that should beat you. Okay. You give up a walk-off grand slam, lose to the Pittsburgh Pirates, and like, oh, this is our closer going into the playoffs? Absolutely not. We can't be giving up walk-off grand slams to the Pittsburgh Pirates mid-July and be like, oh, this is our guy going into the playoffs. He's going to get it done. Like, dude, shut up. Go get Kimbrel. Go get Bias to play short. Bias can play second. You can move guys around. You have a lot of versatility in the Mets roster when it comes to fielding. I would go get Bias and Kimbrel. Kimbrel's not that expensive for next year. They have new ownership. Thank God. Spend the money. That's what I would do. Go get Kimbrel. Go get Bias. Those guys go to New York. It's going to be a race for Chris Bryant. I think the Padres are better suited beating out the Dodgers, who could be a sneaky team for Mad Max Scherzer. I think the Padres go get that because I'm looking at the Milwaukee Brewers, who have a decent lineup. I mean, they put up runs, but okay, obviously they have Yelich, who's on base percentage is great, but that's pretty much about all he's pulling this year across the stat line. Adames has been one of the best hitting shortstops over the last month. Urias has been good. I mean, outside of that, I mean, Garcia, I mean, like, they're not really, you know, crushing the ball here, but they're obviously they have Hader. They put Devin Williams in the IL, but he'll be back. Boxberger's been decent. They can always go get another reliever if one becomes available. But they have Burns, they have Woodruff, they have Peralta, they have a lethal 1-2-3, and like, they're a shady team. They are a shady team in the playoffs. They're not a team I want to see in a best of five. You're going into a best of five, and those are the three guys you're going to have to roll against. It's not good. I mean, if you're the Padres, you have Darvish. He's hurt. Lamet, you don't know. Clevenger's obviously out. Snell's been a huge, huge disappointment. Musgrove's good. You got to go get Mad Max. They're going to want to entertain the Gallo situation, the Bryant situation. That's just not necessary to me. And we'll get Nick's opinion on this. I'm going to try to sway him. He wants Gallo. He wants Bryant. I mean, he wants it all. Mad Max should be my focal point, especially because with Kershaw injured, Bauer, you don't know what's going on with him. Dodgers all of a sudden have some pitching issues, and they are not going to waste a second. They're going to go get Mad Max if they can. And if I am the Padres, I am beating them to that punch. You do not want the Dodgers to get him, especially get him over you. That's a no-brainer. So he'll go one of those two places, leaving Bryant kind of. The Mets have been mentioned, but J.D. Davis is back. I think the place for Bryant is the Giants. They're going to have to look. You can't be in first place with the Dodgers breathing down your neck, the Padres breathing down your neck. You can't be in first place and sit there and not make a move. And I think the move, well, could they enter the Scherzer sweepstakes? Theoretically, anybody can. And he's going to be available. Then this Nats team's not doing anything. They have Turner. They have Soto for the future. You got to retool quick. And plus, these guys did it. They got you the title. You won. He's got nothing left to prove there. Multi-Cy Youngs. Trade him. Send him to the Giants could be in the mix, but I think Mad Max will be a Dodger or Padre, at which point the Giants go and swing and nab Bryant. That's who I would get if I were them. The Cubs fire sale. I mean, the Rockies have put themselves in a hole. Oh, we're going to trade Trevor Story. You should have done that months ago. Like, where were you at the beginning of the year when the Indians, who have a better roster than you, traded Frankie Lindor? Like, where were you in those deals? People wanted Story. Nothing has changed. We all knew you were going to suck. What, you wanted him like a potential all-star, like a top-tier player in your hometown team? You just traded Arenado. You think you can't do it? Dude, this is the game of baseball, and that's how you play the game. The harder you fight it, the worse it becomes for you, and the longer you are middling or bad. If you have a great player, and he has trade value, and you know the deeper into this he can get hurt, other guys fill positions, shortstop step up. If people want him at top priority, his value is worse than it was at the top of the season. They should have traded him from the jump. Look, if you're a team and you may be competing like the Cubs and things fall apart, you don't know. They were hot at the beginning of the year. They fell through. Okay, now we have to reassess. Maybe we trade Contreras too if someone wants a backstop. Now you have to kind of reassess here. You're the Rockies. We knew you were going to suck. No one's surprised. Marquez not going anywhere. Germán Marquez not going anywhere. Germán Marquez is an all-star pitcher, and you guys aren't going to be good for a number of years with the Padres and the Giants and the Dodgers. What do you think? And he's doing these numbers in Colorado. What do you think you can get on the open market for Marquez? And you're not going to deal him? I just don't. People are so like, touch and go on the trigger. He's going to be dealt in a year and a half. And everyone's going to be like, why didn't you deal him last year when he was an all-star and people needed pitching with a crazy amount of injuries going on? When he was at a premium price, you could have possibly fleeced someone's farm. And he held on to him. For what reason? Please enlighten. Because you're not contending next year. No way. You will not be, the Rockies will not be better than the Padres or the Dodgers for forever. Trevor Story is going to be an A or a Ray. Book it. Somebody said, what did Jeff Passan say? Like, he said something crazy. Jeff Passan said that he was going to go play second base. He said somewhere wild where there's already a guy entrenched at shortstop. And I was like, dude, it's just not going to happen. It's not going to work. I mean, someone's thrown around the Sox. Duran, Houck have been called up. We're going to see what we have in them. Rizzo. Braves aren't selling. They just traded for Jock Peterson. Classic Jock Peterson. Go and, like, kill it for, like, the first six games. And then, like, we'll see. Rizzo's a possibility for the Sox. I think another possibility for the Sox is Kyle Gibson, just because he's not going to be as expensive. Oh, it was the White Sox that passed and said. It's like, dude, like, they have Anderson. You can't be, like, sticking Trevor Story at second base. Come play. He's not played second base, dude. This is not, like, a dick-around position. This isn't, like, lollygag left field. You have to have a good second baseman these days. Especially with shifts. You have to have a complete understanding of the position defensively. You can't just throw a guy at second base and hope his bat translates. It's not worth it. The White Sox. The White Sox, could they get in the mix for something? Could the Brewers get in the mix for Gallo? The Yankees are going to do something. Yankees, the Phillies, obviously, you'll do something. So Gallo's going to go somewhere. I think Marte, Philly, or Yankee, Gallo, the Oppo. 1-1. And that's pretty much where I'm standing on the deadline. I don't know how exciting a lot of these races are going to be towards the end, admittedly, for baseball. It's kind of, look, the NL West is going to be exhilarating. But at the same time, it's going to be those teams that go, all three of those teams are going to be in the playoffs in some capacity. Right? And then, like, there's no way, like, the Reds aren't going to do anything. There's no one in the East that's going to catch either the Padres or the Dodgers or the Giants, whoever falters. Those three teams are going to the playoffs. It looks like the Brewers have an unbelievable handle on things. They have, what's their lead? I'm looking up their lead right now to see what they got. They beat the Reds today, 8-0. They're putting up points. on the board. That you can say. They have a 7-game lead. Mets have a 2-game lead on the Phillies. Okay, the Phillies have a winning record. Sorry. I didn't mean to poo-poo them. They have a negative run differential. And I don't think they're going to go anywhere, but that's neither here nor there. DeGrom on the IL. Lindor on the IL. They got to look. You're the Mets. You got to beat them to the punch. The Phillies are going to do something in that case. While the Mets are hurting and ailing, they got a lucky win today against the Pirates. But yeah, it's like who's going to strike first? Whoever strikes first is going to get something serious. You don't want to be the team that's like, oh no, like the Phillies just got Gallo or Marte, two excellent outfielders, two all-star caliber outfielders. Like, oh, we got to do something. But someone's already got Kimbrel. Like, you don't want to be falling behind the eight ball. Like, you have to make a move. ASAP, Ferg. Colin Morikawa, he wins the Open. He's got two. Colin Morikawa, he's got two majors by 24. They're like rolling with DeChambeau and the Koepka rivalry, which is exciting. It's this thing with DeChambeau and Koepka, people want to like fall in love with the swagger of Koepka. He does have a lot. They just aren't like crazy likable for me to even really jump aboard aside in that rivalry. Rahm's playing some of the best golf in the world. He's probably the best golfer in the world. Tied in third with Oosthuizen, who poor Louis. So close. Every damn time. And my buddy Zach was telling me, it's really nothing he ever does. These guys just ball out. Like Rahm, I almost threw, Rahm was plus 650. Go to betonline.ag and bet on anything you want because they're the GOAT. I almost threw Rahm plus 650. Which would have been, he was minus 7, he finished minus 11. He's so great in the final day. And so I was feeling good, as of late, and I was feeling good about him, but it was just, obviously, Morikawa's, Spieth, and Oosthuizen were bottlenecked at the top. Spieth came in second, Hook'em Horns, and Morikawa wins. I think just with, the exciting thing is Spieth could be the face, but I think this guy, Colin Morikawa, could really be the face of golf. Could he be the next Tiger? There'll never be another Tiger. It's just, the name Tiger. There won't be another Tiger Woods. But I think he's a really good face of golf. He's 24. He's obviously dominating. And that was a big takeaway for me for the Open, is how good this kid was. And truthfully, that he is probably the best guy to take over as golf's altar boy or idol boy. Altar boy, Jesus. Golf's king of the mantle, king of the castle. We're going to find it. King of the Iron Throne. Yeah. Colin Morikawa, King of the Iron Throne. That's what we're going with. Jesus Christ. I'm in on Morikawa being the face of golf. I think this was a great win. Great for the sport of golf. Glad Spieth is back. Any other, Fratelli, shout out to him. The boy, Scheffler, shout out to him. I mean, look, there's a lot of guys, a lot of the same guys always at the top. It's competitive, which is what you want to see. But again, I think this Koepka DeChambeau thing doesn't get me excited. I'm into Rahm. I'm into Spieth. I'm into a Spieth-Morikawa thing. Spieth can really, he's been consistent all year. If he carries that into next year and proves that he's fully, fully back, and obviously I think Morikawa's got staying power, I think that will end up being a more interesting rivalry. Hot take. Speaking of rivalries, WWE brings Cena back. Love John Cena. What a pop. Excellent at Money in the Bank. It's like, are we going to get Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley at SummerSlam? Cena versus Roman Reigns makes sense. The passing of the torch. We're bringing back Brock Lesnar for a finisher battle with Bobby Lashley at SummerSlam. It's like, can we not develop talent over at the WWE? Can we not do that anymore? Like, everyone, the pop was insane for Cena. The arena was packed. They brought McAfee to call it, like, solid. Very solid. I mean, you can't do much better from a PR standpoint. But how long can you keep bandaging the ship? I mean, their crew members are dying of flu, and you need new crew members. Like, how long can we run Randy Orton? Edge was the main event tonight. Like, again? I love Edge as a legend. I love Edge. One of my favorite wrestlers of all time. You can't keep main eventing these guys. You need a flux of new talent, and especially, like, look, I don't know if AEW is really going to peel away that much of the banana skin of the WWE, but it's gonna make it annoying. It's a thorn in their side. It's still a good product for the most part, and you just want to pull away. And the way you do that is develop talent. And they get so scared. They keep like, just when you think they're gonna throw a new guy in, they put the old guys in. Brock Lesnar, this dude's like not existent for like 90% of the year. Comes in for SummerSlam and just down. It's like Undertaker coming for us. It's like, okay, they did it. It's done. It's enough. Let's find a new bit. It's embarrassing. But glad to see Cena back nonetheless. It was really cool to watch on Money in the Bank. Money in the Bank. It's not the theme song. Cool. 30 minutes. We'll park it here. Bucks. Going to Bucks. We'll get the other guys back. We have a big week, hopefully. Knock on wood. Things fall through. Yeah. Fans out there, drag both feet and bounce. Swing on a full count. Rip the puck at the putt. Hit your PKs because they're free. And hit your free throws. Why, guys? Because they are free. We out ya. We love ya.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.